Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, and verses 21 through 22. Because we looked at Luke 3, 7 through 18 a few weeks ago, back in December, when we talked about John the Baptist, most of my comments for this study are going to focus on chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, just two verses, on the baptism of Jesus. So this study will be shorter than the others. But next week's study on John chapter 2 verses 1 through 11, the wedding at Cana where Jesus changes the water into wine, is going to be much, much longer than usual. So it works out this way. We are continuing to offer in-person Bible study. I would remind you though, we are wearing masks, so please respect that. As always, I am assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. Each of the Gospels treat the baptism of Jesus differently. In the Gospel of Mark, at chapter 1, verse 9, we see that Mark is the only Gospel writer who has no problem saying that John the Baptist baptized Jesus. In Matthew, we hear the objection of John the Baptist. And in the Gospel of John, we get John the Baptist's account of what happened rather than a witness account. Luke's account is distinctive in several respects. One, Luke never actually says that Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, but it is mentioned back in verse 3. Two, Luke never actually says John the Baptist baptized Jesus. In fact, John the Baptist is said to be in prison in the previous verse at verse 20, although that is likely due to a backstory technique. 3. Only Luke says Jesus received the Spirit as he was praying and not directly at his baptism. But Luke is not clear about the time frame. Was Jesus praying immediately after his baptism while still in the water or afterwards? 4. Only Luke mentions the Spirit descending upon Jesus as a dove. Of course, that doesn't mean it was actually a dove, but did anyone else see the Spirit descending? Matthew says that others heard the voice, but Luke is not clear. Did anyone else hear the voice? Did anyone else see the heavens opened? 5. For a guy who said the beginning of his gospel, he wanted to present, as chapter 1, verse 3 puts it, an orderly account, he kind of misses the mark here with Jesus' baptism. Speaking of that voice in verse 22, we hear two distinctive characterizations of God's relationship with Jesus. The first affirms Jesus' identity as God's Son. And some of your translations may have the word beloved. The Greek word is agapatitos, and is only used by Luke in two other places. At chapter 9, verse 35, when the voice from heaven speaks at the transfiguration of Jesus, and in chapter 20, verse 13, in the parable of the wicked tenants, in which the owner's son is seen as a metaphor for Israel's rejection of Jesus. The second characterization is the use of the term well-pleased. The Greek word is eudokeo, well, I think that's how it is, and it is also an attribute reserved only for references to God in the Gospel of Luke. At chapter 2, verse 14, when the angelic chorus announces God's favor, at chapter 10, verses 21 through 22, it is God's gracious will to hide the revelation from the wise, but to give all things to the Son. And in chapter 12, verse 32, where it is God's good pleasure to give the kingdom to those who are prepared to receive it. Some of your Bibles may have a footnote at the end of verse 22 saying, other ancient manuscripts read, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." This phrase was used by some to suggest an adoptionist Christology, meaning that Jesus did not actually become God's son until his baptism. Such a view totally misses the point of the first two chapters of Luke's Gospel and the birth narrative. Jesus was the Son of God from the moment of conception, not baptism. Luke does not explain why Jesus was baptized. At Luke chapter 3, verse 3, we are told that John the Baptist preached a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. But how does such a baptism apply to Jesus? Does Jesus need to repent? In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we are told, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." It is a thought that we see echoed in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. "He committed no sin, no guile was found on his lips." And in 1 John chapter 3, verse 5, "You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin." Typically, Jesus' baptism is seen as an example for all believers. If Jesus, who was without sin, was baptized, then how much more should we be baptized? Luke's account of Jesus' baptism is seen as an empowering moment. The coming of the Spirit upon Jesus commissioned and empowered him for his ministry. We will hear this later in Luke at chapter 4, verse 18, when Jesus declares that this reading of Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." In conclusion, we have an opportunity to see in the baptism of Jesus not only a historical event, but also a theological reminder for all of us of how God's grace works. The voice declares not only who Jesus is, but that God is well pleased when Jesus hasn't done anything yet. In a similar way, God's love for us is not based on what we do, but on who we are, God's children. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.